In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For the next little while, we'll be seeing the consequences of the sins of Adam and Eve lived out in their descendants. What were the consequences for Adam and Eve? They lost the grace which God had created them with. They lost God's friendship, though God did not abandon them. And in fact, in his condemnation of them, he said he would not abandon them. And yet they were exiled from Eden, and Adam had to work by the sweat of his brow in order to eat, and his work would be very difficult. He multiplied the pains of childbirth for Eve, but that was just the beginning, because what you do not have, you cannot pass on. And so when Adam and Eve had children, they could not inherit a state of grace. Rather, they inherited the state of original sin, which is not, as some of the Protestants say, a state of total depravity, but rather it is being born outside of God's friendship and in a way being turned away from God so that we tend towards sin. And boy, do we see that in the first generation. Two brothers, Cain and Abel. Cain was a farmer, Abel was a herdsman. And Cain offered sacrifice to God. It was a very ancient thing. If you give thanks for the blessings which you have received by giving sacrifices. One of the reasons you give sacrifice, another one is an atonement for sins. Abel also gave a sacrifice. Now, what was the sacrifice that Cain gave? Some of the produce that he had raised from the ground. What was the sacrifice Abel gave? A choice firstling of his flock. God looked with favor upon Abel's sacrifice, and he did not look with favor upon Cain's. Why? We don't know. But I think it is reasonable to assume that Cain didn't offer the best. He offered the leftovers to God. Because as we know from the Old Testament, cereal offerings are perfectly acceptable. You give to God whatever you have. As long as it is the best of what you have. If you have very little, still give the best. But you're not going to be able to give what a Mozart or a Michelangelo or someone like that can give to God. Now, notice how Cain reacted. Cain had sinned. But did he blame himself? No, he took a page out of Mom and Dad's book. He blamed his brother. It was Cain's fault that he had offered a defective sacrifice, and God didn't look with favor upon it. And God said to him, why are you angry at your brother? Sin is lurking at the door. Do better. Repent. Try again. But Cain wouldn't do that. And so what was his solution? God likes Abel better? Okay. Boom. No more Abel. So I'll be best. You think you have problems with your kids? At least you don't have Cain and Abel, I hope. And Cain is punished for killing his brother. It's a horrible thing to murder another human being. And yet it is even more horrible to murder a family member. Human laws have always recognized this. And so what is his punishment? You would think it would be that Cain would be killed too. But it's not. God is creative. God makes it so that Cain can't do what he loves the most, which is till the soil, and that he has to wander. Well, Cain's worried that other people will take vengeance for Abel. God says, no, I'll set my mark upon you. You just have to wander. Now, what is the mark of Cain? We don't know. Let me tell you what it isn't. It isn't his skin color. That was a theory that was popular in the 1700s and 1800s to justify slavery in this country. Absolutely no basis in scripture or church teaching, and it's really just racist twaddle. So it's not that. And notice the punishment, Cain's punishment, Adam and Eve's punishment, descended in their to their children. Cain's punishment didn't. Cain's punishment did not go on to his children. And we're going to see this downward trajectory continue until human beings are almost utterly estranged from God. But God is not estranged from them. God is always watching, and God has a plan to restore and even elevate humanity above the state of goodness in which he originally created them. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.